not being punctual today. Man plans, God laughs. That's all I can say about that. I hope you all don't mind if I stand up, walk around. I can't sit in these things. I'm going to kill my back. Hi, my name is Sarita. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sarita.
And today, I am blessed and honored to say that it is my 7-year anniversary of coming into program. Thank you. So, I left my pictures out in the car, but when I was a kid, you would never have known that I was big at all. I mean, I was average size. Everything about me was kind of average, physically speaking. And if anything, I was underweight when I was born. The doctor says, you know, you can take her home as long as you keep feeding her and as long as she keeps gaining weight, and then she doesn't have to come back to the hospital. And for about 25 years, I didn't have to go back to the hospital. I started seeing that I had problems with food when I was a pre-teenager. I went on a couple of vacations, a couple years in a row, went with extended family, and they ate differently than I did, or at least they ate differently than we did in my house, because in my house, it was like you're just waiting for them to say, okay, eat, and then you're just devouring the food. And we were always very... everything had to be shared equally, so, you know, everything had to be divisible by six. You know, we had to get packages of 6 or 12 or 18 so that everybody could get, even if it was only 10, we couldn't buy it because it couldn't be, I mean, this is how insane we were. We still are. So when I saw that they didn't eat that way, like, I just couldn't comprehend it, and I just thought it was really odd. When I was in high school, my last 2 years, I did not have a lunch period, technically speaking. I had to get special permission from my parents and from the school to have, I forget if we had 8 classes or 9 classes or whatever it was. So I had classes all day long, but my teachers knew, you know, somewhere in the middle of the day that I would, you know, stop at the cafeteria, maybe pick up a little something to eat, or I would bring something with me and eat something. So I really didn't have the best of eating habits. I was also in the marching band, and we had the fundraisers that you have to go and sell your sugary stuff. And I always sold my minimum, or at least I sold about half of it, and the other half I'd eat myself. And, oh God, it would get to the point where I would just be like, I can't anymore. It really wasn't until freshman year of college that it just exploded, because now we're talking about having the all-you-can-eat cafeteria, and they had everything there, you know, and especially that dessert table and make your own this and all that kind of stuff. Oh, I had some fun. I had some fun with that, but it really wasn't fun. It got to the point where by my third year of college, I had my first panic attack, and I remember exactly where I was standing when I had that panic attack. It was the night of the band banquet, and I was a drill instructor. I'd been my drill instructor for 3 years. They expected me to be there. I did not go because I had this panic attack. I felt like I was just dying, like I couldn't breathe, and I didn't understand it. I thought I was just crazy, and I went out walking on the campus for the rest of the evening, for the rest of the night. It actually got to the point where my roommate was so worried about me, she called my father to come drive 2 hours away. They wouldn't let him in because I was over 18. They would not let him into the dorm. I wouldn't even look at the resident director. That was the start of my insanity. Also that year, January of that year, it'll be 20 years coming up. That was when I realized that I was gay. That kind of threw me for a loop. Actually, in the beginning, it was kind of funny because I kept saying that I was playing for the wrong team. When I thought I was straight, I had all these gay women hitting on me. And when I realized I was gay, I was being asked out by a lot of guys. So I was like, I just couldn't get it right. It's like, really? So such is my luck. I came home. Being a music teacher was not my thing. I did not graduate from college, and I came home knowing that I was gay, didn't know how to come out to my parents, and it did take a couple of years. In that time, my weight fluctuated. I'm going to say maybe about 20 pounds over. Not too much, not too crazy. I'm 5'6", so I should, you know, I'm thinking maybe I was about 170 or so. Not too shabby. I didn't think it was all that bad. Then I got into my first relationship with a woman. And within about 2 months, we moved in, because the first date, we bring the flowers, and on the second date, we bring the U-Haul. That was a really bad relationship. It lasted for 3.5 years, and in that time, we were eating buddies, really. And my weight ballooned up to 220 pounds. Again, I'm not even 5'6", and it wasn't pretty. I also started developing a lot of health issues, a lot of acid reflux. It would wake me up in the middle of the night, have a bottle of the pink stuff to try to get it down, and a bottle of caplets to try to, you know, just Tums, Rolaids, whatever, just anything that would get it down. But I would still keep eating. What were my main food groups? Fat, sugar, salt, flour, fried. Those were my food groups. Every once in a while there might be a vegetable, you know, if it was floured and deep fried, and, you know. But my health continued to deteriorate to the point where I, at the age of 25, I had a gallbladder attack. I never didn't know what it was. It was my one and only gallbladder attack, and I wound up needing emergency surgery. Instead of a 90-minute laparoscopy, it turned out to be nearly 4 hours, and I have a huge scar on my belly, plus the two other scars from the attempts. And at 25 years old, there went my bikini days. I could have died at that point because there was a problem during the surgery, but that wasn't enough for me. I was able to finally get out of that relationship. It became very abusive. It was verbally, emotionally, physically, and sexually abusive. I wound up moving out of that relationship. I moved home on Friday, January 26th of 2001. And she didn't know about it. She came home. She thought we were robbed. I had to get out of that situation, though. That was one good thing that I did when I was in the food. Came back home and tried to piece my world back together. And then I got into another relationship. And then the weight started coming back on. I had lost some weight after I got out of that relationship, out of the first relationship, the abusive one. I lost about 50 pounds or so. I was going to yoga every day. I was loving it. My yoga teachers inspired me to go to massage school. And I think I really found my calling, because that was 12 years ago and I'm still doing that now. I absolutely love it. But when I started massage school, my food went up, or my food intake went up, my weight went up. And funnily enough, I know this now, but I did not know this at the time, my massage teacher was an OA. And she would see me every day come in with these huge feasts of dinners, and I would eat before class. And there's a part of me that says, well, you know, well, maybe she should have said something. And yet, at the same time, I know that even if she had, it probably would not have stuck with me at all. So, like I said, I went into that second relationship, and then the crap hit the fan, because I cut off my relationship with my family, my weight started going up, I started isolating. The job that I had, I was beginning as a massage therapist, and I just did not make enough money. There was 1 week I had one half-hour massage. I got paid $15 plus a $5 tip. I made $20 in 1 week, and I was supposed to pay taxes on that. Speaking of taxes, I got behind in my taxes. By the time I was able to get my head out of my butt and move back home in July of 2006, I was over $67,000 worth of debt of, what is that, unsecured debt, credit card debt. I had taxes. My car was paid for, but it was, you know, a million years old. I really didn't have anything to my name. I was starting to get more panic attacks. Every time the phone would ring, it would be a creditor, right? Like 90% of the people that were, 90% of my phone calls were from creditors. So every time the phone would ring, I would have a panic attack. And what do you do when the phone rings? Naturally, you go into the bathroom and lock yourself in so that nobody sees you, right? Like, isn't that what you're supposed to do? Because that's what I did. I literally would think that my family was out in the yard, like these spies coming to get me. Like, I was so paranoid with this food. I would eat entire smorgasbords. The coffee table would be filled. I would go to, you know, the fast food places and say, well, I'm going to get enough for today and tomorrow. And that, you know, that never happened because I'd eat it all in one sitting. I'd go get a family of four pack plus the dessert and say, well, you know, that there'll be, you know, dinner tonight, maybe lunch and dinner tomorrow. No, it would be done by the evening. Be absolutely gone with a 2-liter bottle of soda to wash it down. And again, my weight started coming back up. The acid reflux was horrible. I moved back home, like I said, July of 2006. And I was done. I hated my life to the point where every single morning I would wake up and say, pardon my French, oh fuck, here we go again. I hated my life because I woke up fat, I woke up broke, I woke up lonely, I woke up back in my parents' house, and my life was crap, and I didn't know how to get out of it. It just was so overwhelming. The debt was overwhelming. The fat was overwhelming. The loneliness was overwhelming. And that's when I finally decided to go back to OA. I did do a couple of meetings a few years prior, I don't know, maybe 2005 or so, and I heard the message and I understood it and I could relate to it, but I was not willing to do the work until I got to that point where I just couldn't take it anymore. I'd become suicidal and I just wanted to take a bottle of sleeping pills. Then this way, I wouldn't have to wake up anymore into my life. So I went to my first meeting November 13th of 2006. And about 2 minutes before the meeting started, there's this one guy came in, he hurriedly puts his stuff down and he goes back out. And I'm looking at him like, this guy's a twig. You know, he had like nothing on him. He had not an ounce of fat on him. I wanted to like, do I have a Tic Tac or something here, honey? Get a peanut or something like that. I wanted to feed him. All of a sudden I become Italian. I'm like, mind you. But later on, he comes in and he sits down and he very nonchalantly, just as he's sharing, says, yeah, and I'm maintaining an 80-pound weight loss. And my jaw went on the floor. Like, what do you mean you're talking about? He doesn't look like he has an ounce of fat on him. He looks fantastic. But that didn't impress me as much as what he said and the way he said it. He had this peace, a calm about him. He had serenity. And now I know what that word is. He has that serenity. He had that light in his eyes. And I wanted that. And I knew what a sponsor was. I knew kind of sort of what the 12-step program was about. Fortunately, I have a brother who is a recovering drug addict and alcoholic. And he's been sober for about 14 years, thank God. And so I kind of knew the word sponsor. I did not want this guy, this skinny guy, I didn't want him to be my sponsor. After about 3 months of going to that meeting and really wanting a sponsor, it was a very small meeting, so the same few people were coming in, not too many newcomers at that time. It has since grown, thank God. But they said, look, if you want a sponsor, go to Edison. Just go there one night, because that's a schlep for me. That's almost an hour. That's about an hour drive from Jackson to Edison. So if you want a sponsor, go up there. They have a lot of sponsors. And I finally did in February 11th of 2007. And that night I met my sponsor, who I wanted what she had in the fact that I thought she had a really good bullshit detector. Is somebody timing me, by the way? Tell me. Okay. So I really thought that she would be able to call me on my stuff because I got some stuff, you know. I know really how to lay it on thick. You need the hip boots to wade through my crap. And she did. And I remember that first day, she told me, okay, so you're going to have a food plan ready. And I had a food plan ready. I'd written it down, and I committed it to her. But then I decided to change that. And I remember it was leftover Chinese food, and I ate it. And as I was eating it, my stomach was starting to get all icky yucky. And you know, by the time I finished it, it was like this lead in my stomach, this lead ball. And I called her up, and I was laughing, actually. I said, this commitment stuff must really work because I feel like crap right now. So she says, yeah, you should wait till you actually do what you say you're going to do. And I wanted that feeling. I still want that feeling to say, yes, I'm going to have ABC for breakfast and not have XYZ, not Q, not P, not whatever. I'm going to have just this. So over my years in program, there have been some major milestones. About a month and a half into my abstinence, I had to put down my dog. And that was, at the time, it was the most beautiful experience that I'd ever had. The reason being my ex and her ex that had purchased the dog for her 12 years prior, all three of us were there. So when we had to put Bandit down, he had all three of his mamas there. And it was just a beautiful, I can't even explain to you, it was just such a beautiful thing. I was putting my dog down, my heart was broken, and it was beautiful. My dad all this time had been very sick, and next Thursday will be the 2-year anniversary of his passing. And that wound up being the most beautiful experience of my life. Because I was able to see him for the beautiful person that he was. See, because I had this idea in my head that my father, I wanted Pa Ingalls. I wanted Charles Ingalls from Little House on the Prairie. Michael Landon, you know? I wanted Michael Landon for my dad. And he was not. My dad was an asshole, you know? And there's no other way to put it. He was a jerk. And he was not a nice man. But I was able to put past that and to see him as the beautiful child of God that he is, or was. And so my years in program were able to heal my relationship with my father to the point where the very last day of his life, when I was walking out of that hospital room, I remember exactly where I was in the ICU. And I said, you know, I don't have any unresolved issues with my father. I may have some regrets. I wish I could have done this. I wish I could have done that. But I have no unresolved issues with my dad. And he died that night. It's beautiful. I say it's beautiful because after my family, and I have a big family, my dad had 8 kids and, you know, lots of aunts and uncles and all that kind of stuff. After family, the first person I called was my sponsor. It was 1:30 in the morning. Unfortunately, she was asleep. The next person I called was my best friend, who I now have in program. It's the only reason why we met. I don't remember what she said. I don't remember what I said, but I just remember feeling heard. I remember feeling taken care of. And that entire time through his funeral, through the grieving process, I have been able to be supported by all of you. And it was such a wonderful feeling. That's what program has given me. It's given me the ability to really break things down one thing at a time. So I told you that I was $67,000 in debt. At the time, I think my credit score was probably about 550, 560. It was horrible. It was in the toilet. So now I am under $5,000 in debt. $15,000 in debt. So I have paid off, what, $52,000, if my math is correct? Not too shabby. And how did I do that? One payment at a time, one dollar at a time, one penny at a time. It came down. Took a lot of hard work, but it did. My credit score, I just got my credit score. I looked at it this morning. One says 698, the other one says 704, and the last one says 743. So that's not too shabby. I'm in the process of buying a house, which I truly feel this house has not been lived in for 2 years. It's in on short sale. My dad's been dead almost 2 years. I think that's not a coincidence. Also, whenever I think about this house, I really think about Margaret. She passed away back in April, and you know, having that sponsor for over 6 years, I mean, she became my best friend. You know, she was the first best friend that I had. And the lessons that I've learned, I'm able to now take that out into the world. I'm able to take that. She may be gone, but she's not gone. And I really think that between her and my dad, whoo, they are a team. They are such a team helping me on this road. My current weight loss, I'm maintaining an 80-pound weight loss. I know this is a 100-pounder series. I understand 100-pound-ish. So that's what I was told. I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. But I've been maintaining that weight loss for about 6 years now. As a matter of fact, these pants, these are new. These are skinny jeans, supposedly. And I got my normal size 8, went in the store and tried them on, and they fitted okay. And got them home and washed them. And, you know, usually you're afraid about them shrinking. I think they grew because now I need a belt because I can literally take them off without undoing. But I'm not going to do that to you. That might be later after the show. But so these are the beautiful things that program has given me. I think to have that peace and serenity, to have the laughter that we have, to have the love and the joy and the friendship that, you know, without it, I wouldn't be able to live. I wouldn't want to live. So I know that there's a lot of hard work, you know, calling the sponsor, reading, writing, all the tools, blah, blah, blah. But we're here. We're having a good time. I had a good time with my friends. And even in traffic, we were having a good time. I can't ask for more than that. I'm truly blessed. And I would really like to thank you all for asking me to speak. And God bless.